Hello and good morning or afternoon, whenever you're listening to this. My name is Matthew Minona, and you have tuned in to another installment of Verse by Verse Bible Teaching. We bring you these Bible teachings through the money that we earn at the Wash and Word. That's our hand car wash. You can find us in the Palace Shopping Center in Churchill on Highway 11W. And along with my wife, Victoria, we are the owners and operators of that place. And we have created the Wash and Word for the sole purpose of getting God's Word in all of its entirety into the public ear in a way that's a little less orthodox than what we're used to in the four walls of the church. And that's one of the reasons why we started it this way, because we believe that the church, by and large, not all of them, not all the time, but as a whole, we've kind of dropped the ball when it comes to preaching all of God's Word. We began to pick and choose what it is we're going to preach about. And God's Word was never meant to be cherry-picked. It was meant to be given to us in all of its entirety. All Scripture is God's breathed, 2 Timothy tells us. So let's go and get into God's Word. If you have any questions about the business or the ministry, go to washandword.com. I could spend the next 15 minutes just talking about the ministry and what we do here at the Wash and Word. But if you've got any questions, go to washandword.com. That's wash, the letter N, word.com. I would like to invite you out to Abundant Life Fellowship, 415 Old Union Road in Churchill. Sunday nights at 6 p.m. is when I do my verse-by-verse Bible teaching. And you can also hear me Monday through Friday at 8:30 in the morning on WMCH 1260 AM radio here in the Churchill area. All right, let's get back into it. We are in the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 15, and Paul is closing out chapter 15 here. And he's trying his best to clarify what the resurrected body is going to be like. And he's doing this because there have been questions about what our resurrected bodies are going to be like from the day Christ ascended up until today. We still wonder what it's going to be like. And we can only get bits and pieces and fragments of what our resurrected life is going to be and what our bodies are going to do. But we can take those bits and pieces and we can be very encouraged by them. So the last thing we left off is talking about the new Adam versus the old Adam. And Paul was referring to how our old Adam, that is the first man who sinned, passed on a fallen nature to each and every person who was born. That is why we needed what he was calling the second Adam, which is Jesus, to resurrect us in our dead soul and spirit. Remember, God breathed life into a flesh creature in Adam, but that life spiritually died when they sinned, and Christ brings that spiritual life back to life again. So in us, in Christ, and only in Christ, do we now have life in the Spirit once again. But we still hang on to that spiritual or that fleshly nature, and they war against one another even after we become Christian. But what Paul is saying is that we don't have to submit to the flesh. See, before the Spirit became alive again through Christ, we as fleshly, fallen nature ruled people had no option. We had no choice. We were ruled and led by our minds and our wills and by our emotions. Now in Christ, we still are led and ruled by our minds, wills, and emotions, but we now have the ability to override the fleshly thoughts and actions. And this is what he's been trying to get across really through the whole letter. See, chapter 15 comes across as a culmination of the entire book of 1 Corinthians, which is a very instructional teaching letter. And if you missed any of the sermons leading up to chapter 15, you can find them at washandword.com. Go to the media tab and download for free and listen to for free all of our archive messages. So we're going to pick it up here in verse 50. We left off in verse 49. That's what we do in verse-by-verse Bible teaching. We just keep trucking away verse-by-verse. So look at verse 50. Paul says, "I declare to you, brothers, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable." All right, so we're going to stop there after that one verse just to make clear that nothing man-made, nothing human, nothing fleshly is going to win you a seat in heaven. Period. End of story. I don't care what you give. I don't care what you do. I don't care how much of a saint you think you are. There is nothing that is made, nothing that is human, and nothing that is fleshly is going to get you into heaven. I declare to you, brothers, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Now, if we left it there, we'd say to ourselves, well, that is discouraging. Well, thankfully, God never leaves it there. When Jesus was talking to Nicodemus, he said to him, you should not be surprised at my saying you must be born again. You see, he understood, or he should have, Nicodemus, that when Jesus said that, he was basically just affirming all the teachings that these Pharisees were supposed to have already known. And that's what he's saying here, that flesh and man and nothing human will enter, nothing perishable will enter. What does he mean by that? It simply means that unless this flesh changes before we get to heaven's door, it's not going to be able to enter. God says, no, nothing fleshly can enter. Well, then, how do we not become fleshly? How do we become something other than human, something other than man or perishable, as Paul says? Well, we already know the answer to that. We are renewed spiritually on earth so that we may be renewed physically when we get to heaven. So by being born again, by accepting Christ, our spirit becomes renewed. And having a renewed spirit, when we get to the doorstep of that judgment, then our physical can be renewed. See, right now our physical doesn't get renewed, just our spiritual. And the physical will be renewed when we get to heaven, but it won't be renewed unless you first renew the spiritual here on earth. So in verse 51, he continues, listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. Here is another thing Paul is saying, that one thing Paul understood is that the mysteries of God, the mysterious things of God, must they must seem pretty far fetched, especially to unbelievers. You know, the things of Jesus seemed really odd to Paul at first, so much so he attacked the way. And the word mystery, as termed in the Bible, just refers to anything that we cannot understand humanly. Basically, it's something that would be beyond our human abilities and our human mind. But many of those mysteries, many godly things, are revealed to us after salvation. It says the deep things of God still belong to God, but after salvation, much of the Christian faith begins to make sense. In fact, we cannot understand a whole lot of the Christian faith until we become saved. And so those in Corinth and those who are now yet to be born again will find more mystery about God and about Jesus and about the Bible than the believer ever will, because they haven't been able to partake in the understanding because they yet to receive the part of God that gives us that understanding. Does that make sense? Let's move on. Verse 52, in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for when the trumpet sounds, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. And for the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. Paul is referring to here what we call the rapture. And just as he made connections between death and the first Adam and the last Adam, there is going to be one generation, one people, one Christian group that will not taste death. And that flash, that twinkling of time, which is why I understood it to be the blink of an eye, is a twinkle of time. It's just a fraction of a second. The twinkle of time in between what it takes to blink and open is one of the fastest speeds known to humankind. And this rapture that we talk about, it's a very important fact. It's not a hope. It's not a prayer. It's not a chance. It's not some kind of lucky thing we hope. No, it is a fact. We will be changed. And when this happens, Paul says, at the last trump, which of course is going to lead to the other trumps, and it's going to lead to the end of time. So the rapture of the church happens just before, or if you're a mid-trib, happens in the middle of the time when the Lord is about to restore all things. So forget about quantum leap theory or reincarnation or transmutational reality. The real great change will happen on the blessed day the Lord comes back for his church. And Paul says that when we clothe ourselves in the Spirit, we step out of time and into eternity. And when Jesus comes back, he will step out of eternity and into time. And that is when he will gather up his church. Look at verse 54. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable and the mortal with the immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? And there's perhaps no greater feeling than standing up to the school bully and then watching him back down. And because of Christ, and more succinctly because of the resurrection, we can stand up to the greatest cosmic bully of all time and proclaim, "Oh, where, death, is your victory? Where, oh, death, is your sting?" That alone makes this worthwhile. And in verse 56, Paul says, "The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." And so he says that the sting is removed because our sin is removed. And if the sting of death is sin, and our sin has been removed because of Christ, well, then the sting has also been removed. So the power of sin is removed because the law is also removed. The law has now been replaced with grace. And the law gave power to sin. Read the book of Romans. And sin gave power to death. And Jesus gave us power to conquer both. Hallelujah. It has all been removed. Grace replaces the law, and righteousness replaces sin. How can this be done? It is all because of Jesus. And verse 58, the last of chapter 15, says, "Therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm. Stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain." Paul is going out and saying, listen, because of everything I just said to you in the last 15 chapters, this whole letter, stand firm. And as we break this down, he says, therefore, because of the resurrection, because of the defeat of death, because of the promise of the glory, he says, dear brothers, he's attaching this in a very reverent way. This is not some teacher in a classroom. This is love, genuine love of one to another. This isn't some universal truth. This is one man pouring his heart out to those whom he loves. He says, stand firm. Firm because of the things that you... Stop the backsliding. Stop the falling. Stop the being overcome by temptation. You have the power to stop these things now. He said, it's not going to be easy, but we forcefully advance the gospel into the darkness. And then he says, let nothing move you. Nothing means nothing. Stand so firm that nothing in this world can move you out of your position. Don't let your job move you, not family, not pain, not financing, because I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor demons, nor present, nor past, or future, nor powers, or nor principalities, nor height or depth, nothing, he says, can move you. Nothing is greater than the glory of being in Christ. Listen, he ends with saying, your labor is not in vain. Nobody has ever served the Lord faithfully and has lived to regret it. No one has ever served the Lord faithfully and has done so in vain. Friends, these are the days of the harvest. God needs warriors. He doesn't need people that are playing church. He needs true warriors who take his word to heart. All of his word. And that's what we do here at The Wash and Word. We give you God's entirety, verse by verse. Join me once again tomorrow. We'll do this again. Abundant Life Fellowship, 415 Old Union Road, Sunday nights for verse-by-verse Bible teaching. And come by the Washing Word. Let us work to earn the money it takes to keep this ministry alive. You have a blessed day.